Gaz, the beat maker.
Living unapologetically.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Welcome back to another podcast episode of Unapologetically Living. You already know I am your host, Lady B. Today I bring to you a special guest. Well, he's special to me. This is my teenage son, Mr. Alex. He will be discussing with me different stereotypes with young teenage black men. Things that we've noticed being out and about on town. Also, you know, things that we've noticed, not just with him, but just with other young black males via television or either just in person. We've noticed it over the years. We never really talked about it until recently because we noticed that it happens quite a bit. It actually happened during his photo shoot that he was doing this summer. It really drew attention because even the photographer was like, wow, I can't believe, you know, this person would come up to us and ask and say these things. It wasn't nothing derogatory, negative, it's just the perspective. So we decided that we was like, hey, that's a good topic to talk about and open up. And by us having a good relationship, somewhat, we was like, yeah, let's talk about it as mother and son, because it's other mother and sons that's probably going through the same thing or will go through as your son gets older and goes through life and transitions from middle school to high school or high school to college. Okay, so let's get into it. So I'll introduce my son to you. This is Mr. Alex. How are you?
I'm doing good.
All right, tell people about yourself.
All right, I'm 14. I'm in ninth grade, my first year in high school, and I like to basically read, play video games, do all types of stuff in my free time.
Okay. And what is one of your favorite pastimes?
What do you particularly mean by pastimes?
You know, free time. Something that you would say, like, it's your free time, and what's your favorite ultimate thing to do in your free time the most? Is it a certain type of thing you like to watch, you like to draw, you like to go? Like, what's your favorite go-to when you have at least 2 to 3 hours or more?
If I have 2 to 3 hours of free time, I probably play video games, but if I have something, like, new that I can, like, unbox or build, I'd probably be messing with that the most of the free time, mm-hmm. like building it together, because mm-hmm. I like to put things together and unbox stuff.
That's true. That is one of his many talents. He is my assistant in my other business. Okay, let's get into today's topic. Okay, so I'm going to let you know what we're talking about today is, as a young black male in society, we have noticed that a lot of young black males, which is, you know, the norm over the years, that black men and women are very talented in the sports industry and music industry. That is no secret. We have broke all sports and music records all over the world for years, and which is a great accomplishment. However, we noticed that young black males are always stereotype as ball players, basketball or football. It's never really the other sports, track, golf, soccer. It's never it's always basketball, football, which is not a bad thing. You know, I'm not against young men or women that play sports or basketball or football. My son plays basketball, football only for recreational purposes. He just likes to do it for fun. But we notice that when he's out and about, that he's always asked, what sport do you play? Do you agree?
Yes, I agree.
And it's never really, well, what grade are you in? Well, they may ask that second or third, but it's never say, well, what class or what you're good in? You care to explain?
Yes. So basically what she's trying to say is they would walk up to you first thing they ask, they see you're an older age, you're a teenager, they always ask, oh, hey, do you play football? Do you play basketball? What sports are you in? And if you play those sports, you say, and that you might say you do, and they talk about sports the whole time. But if you say that you don't really like sports, and you're like, nah, I don't play sports, they move to like the next question, like, well, how old are you? But if you play sports, you're just like, yes, they're gonna be like, oh, well, what position are you on? What do this? Or how athletic are you? Or how much do you lift? They're not gonna dive in to your more personal life than other than sports if you do agree and say, yes, I do play sports.
Yeah, I agree. And that is something that we have noticed, that it happens repetitively, that they stop at the whole dynamic of what sports you play, what position you play. And then it's like they're like mind-boggled when you say, I don't play a sport, and you're a black male and you're young. And especially he's pretty tall. He has a pretty athletic build for his age. And so they are like, what do you mean? You don't play sports. Like, why? And then they all look at me, why not, mom? Like, are you stopping him? No, I'm not stopping him. His preference is to play for recreational. He doesn't want to play in the hope of having a career. His other aspirations, as you heard, he has other things that he is good is in riches. One is reading, writing. He's good with computer technology. And he's also good with building things. He's very good with like the whole IT background, computers, and also the whole electronic. That's his field. So I encourage him to do what he wants to do, not what I may want or his dad may want or even society. Because you're a young black male, you don't have to bounce a ball or throw a ball in order to be successful. You can, I mean, don't get me wrong, there's nothing wrong with those professions, but you have to have a backup plan even with those professions. So that's some of the things that I always encourage him is to do what he wants to do. And he said, Mom, I want to play for just recreation. Can you kind of elaborate on why you feel like it's more important for you to play sports just for recreation because that's what you want versus you just force yourself to play them just because society says you're black and you're male, you should play sports?
I think personally, when you want to play sports because someone's making you, like your mother said, oh, give me that check. You know you can play basketball. You know you can play football. Why don't you just do it for me. Just do it for that. But you don't want to. You want to do something else. Like, let's say you want to be a detective. You want to be a scientist. You don't want to play basketball for your whole life. You get forced in this career, and then when that money flow stops coming from that basketball, when you're too old to play, when no one wants you anymore, you're not desirable for that team, they're just gonna lay you up. You ain't got nothing. You're too old to do what you originally wanted to do, but now you can't do it anymore because your whole life was just played to basketball. They ain't gonna be like, oh, you're that basketball player. Yeah, you can be a detective now.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Well said. I really agree. And that, because you still, people don't know, even if you be a ball player, if you don't have, you don't do money management, you don't have a CPA, an accountant to keep your money tight and right, you're legally, you know what I'm saying, you're only bound for a certain amount of years in those contracts. And so you do need a backup plan. And once you're no good to them age-wise anymore, you do need a backup career profession. Unless you invest it properly to make sure your money, you know, lasts you, you know, through your elderly years. And so this is something that my son researched and learned on his own. So he was like, no, Mom, I'd rather just, you know, keep it as recreational. So that's why this is something that we said that we thought we wanted to sit and have a conversation about, because we noticed that during his photo shoot, when he did a photo shoot graduating from 8th grade this summer in the park, that he was actually greeted by one of the park rangers. And even the photographer was just like, what? Like, she couldn't believe that the man was like really persistent. Like, why doesn't he play sports? And it was like, because he doesn't. And then he's like, oh, he must be one of those smart kids then. It's like, so you didn't think that he would be a smart kid if he told you he didn't want to play, that he did play sports. So you see how the person put the sports first, and then when he was like, no, I'm more focused on academics, sports is a recreation, and the person was like, oh, you're a smart kid. So what are you trying to say? So that's why I said people have to be mindful of, it's a lot of things when you come up to adolescents, teenagers, other things that you say, no matter your race. You could be another black person, you could be a different race. Because we get it from all races, not just outside, non-black races. We get it from the black race, too. That a lot of people just have this stereotype of every time you come up to young men, you want to know what sport they play. And then they say they don't. Why don't you play a sport? Why don't you tell that young black male you look like a doctor? You look like a future lawyer. You look like a future detective, scientist, as my son say. How do you think, as being a male that's... currently in high school, that's working your way through high school and have aspirations, that when adults seem like they limit you, do you feel like it's not as a value to say, I want to be a lawyer, I want to be a detective, or versus saying, I want to go pro, I want to be an NFL, NBA player? Do you feel like it's not looked upon as the same excitement that it would be if you said, oh, my goal is to go pro?
Well, it depends on the type of people you talk to. If you talk to like a coach or someone who's a sports head, they'd be like, oh, that's great. That's so great. But if you tell a sports head or a coach or something that, oh, I want to be a lawyer, they ain't going to look upon you. They're going to look upon a kid who say he want to be a basketball player. He want to be the next LeBron James. Mm-hmm. They ain't going to look upon you. But if you tell someone who's actually smart and has intellect on the courses that you want to do, like let's say a science teacher, a math teacher, a history teacher, mm-hmm. they'd be like, oh, that's great. And they'll probably look down on the person who wants to play sports. Okay. It depends on who you're talking to. A person who likes sports and stuff, they'd be like, oh, that's great. They're going to look down on a kid who wants to be a lawyer. But the person who's into history or science, stuff like that, they're going to look down on the person who says they want to be a basketball player.
Okay, I got you. It makes sense. So, yeah, and have you experienced that being in this class? Have you seen the difference when the kids say, I want to tell a teacher I want to be GoPro versus the kid that say, I want to be a teacher, I want to be a doctor, a lawyer? You have you seen how the reactions are different in with other people? Mm-hmm. Okay. So, see, this is a real thing that happens, that this is what your, you know, adolescents are experiencing when they're talking to their peers, when they're talking to educators, when they're in the classrooms, when they're outside the classrooms. These are some of the things that, how they feel. A lot of times, I know being a parent, my colleagues, a lot of us always say that being a parent is hard, you know, because you don't never know what your kid is facing when they're not with you. And then when you do get a glimpse of some of the stuff when you are with them, you're amazed now in 2020 of how they perceive things, how they take things in. So you're hearing firsthand that, you know, it is students that tell the teacher, hey, I'm sitting in English class now, but my goal is to go pro, you know, because I'm good at bouncing this ball. And then you see the teacher be like, you know, well, right now you're going to get this English assignment done, or you're not bouncing the ball. But then that same student goes to coach and go to practice afterwards, the coach gonna be like, look, you need to bounce this ball, you need to be in practice, you need to get to target because you gotta go pro. So they're getting two different perspectives in one day, the same student. And then we don't know what their parents' view is when they go home, you know, because there's no one there to observe what the parents' view is. So it's like, we have to be really mindful with these adolescents nowadays, because we are very judgmental on teenagers, and especially in 2020 with everything that's going on in the world. We don't listen to them. We don't let them talk. That was one of the reasons why I asked my son, did he want to, you know, come on? And he said, yeah, I want to come on. I want to talk about it. And it's some more issues. You'll see more of him. His handsome self. he's photogenic, cameragenic, as they would say. and he has a lot he likes to talk about too. He's 14, but he's experienced a lot living in three different states. I can't say, and having a, being involved in different organizations, attending different events. He, not just because he's my son, but he's a really a overall diverse kid that really has his own perspective on things. And it's because my husband and I do let him be a free thinker and let him, you know, form his own views and, you know, experience life as a teenager and see how things are from his perspective. So we have open dialogue. So we hope you enjoyed our open dialogue. We got one more thing before we go. Is there anything else that you want to point out in regard to this subject matter of kids picking their future and their career goals and how adults need to be mindful of, you know, of kids trying to find out what you want to do, no matter your race?
Yeah, I think I have one more thing to touch upon. And that's how you should really, really monitor your kids. Like, you should monitor, like, I know people be like, oh, stop being so overprotective of your kids. But you really need to monitor your kids. Like, there are kids coming to school with all types of stuff. They got from other kids. They got from other places. Sometimes it crosses upon my head since I have a tiger mom is what they call it. Basically, I'd be like, so where's their parent at? Like, why doesn't their parent check this stuff? Like, why doesn't their parent do this? Like, most of y'all, you parents, you be like, oh, they're 15 or they're 14. Mm-hmm. They should know what to do. They're good. But no, at some point, you still need to check their backpack. You mm-hmm. still need to go through stuff. You can't be letting everyone come to their house. You can't be letting your kids come go to everyone else's house. Mm-hmm. That's the point, because you don't know what's happening. You might send your 15-year-old son over to someone's house. He talk about it's a friend, it's some girl. Now you call the case. He can't, the rest of his life is ruined.
Because mm-hmm. age is a big thing. That's another thing that me and him are going to come back and talk about. If age is a big thing, and we're Texas residents, so we make sure we know Texas law. And that's a really big thing in Texas with the age thing. It can be two minors, but if that one is 16 and that one is 17, it's a case. And even if it was consensual, they are still both minors, it's still a case. And it's something, like he said, it'll be on your record forever. And you're labeled as a sex offender and you was a minor yourself. But it's just because of that age break of 17. And it could be her 15 and she could be turning 16 next week. The law don't care. And it could be her 16th birthday. They could have known each other since they were kids. Their family could have known each other when they get to court. It don't matter. You're still labeled with it. So, yeah, my son is correct. He knows I'm a tiger mom. I'm very protective. I'm a very aggressive when it comes to parenting. I let him have his own free mind and free thoughts. But I monitor a lot of things that he does. I monitor the places he goes and the people that he's around. I'm very cautious about the people that he's around because I don't want him to be subjected to decisions that can alter his life only because he's with other adults or he's around other kids that he can't say no. He can't get himself out. He can't drive himself home. If he's 20 miles, 30 miles away and he's in a right or wrong decision, he can't just get in the car and just drive away, not at this current time, because, you know, so it's like you got to be mindful, because some situations they can't get themselves out of at that current time. And it, I mean, you can be an accomplice to a crime, whereas if I was just spoke with some detectives earlier in the year, they were telling me that even if you know about the crime, if you didn't have to commit it, but if the people that did commit it say that you was a part of the planning process, that's an accomplice. And so that's why my son knows I check phones, I check text messages, and you know, and it's not every day. It could be, you know, every couple of weeks randomly or whatever, but you need to know who your kid is talking to. You need to know who house they're going over. You need to know who you're leaving them with, what type of lifestyle that person has, and be able to have and have that open discussion too. I think, what do you think about kids being able to have that open discussion with their parents? They need to be able, and if they do go somewhere that their parents trust and something fishy, or as the kids say, sus, something sus happened, they need to come tell you, like, mom, dad, you know, this what happened, you know. Right. Nothing really happened, you know, really happened, but this is what I noticed. Something kind of sus. So that at least you, your antennas are up, you know, so, you know. I thought I'd say parenting is tough, but you're gonna see more of Mr. Alex. We're gonna have more of these mom and son open dialogue talks. I think it's common, you know, where you see these actual dialogues, because they're not common nowadays. Where you see parent and a teenager actually conversing, so you'll see more of him and us. We hope that you enjoyed this and, you know, you take heed to some of the tips. And if you have any comments, you can put them in the comments on YouTube. If you're listening to the podcast, you can email me at unapologeticallyfearless, the number 1 at gmail.com. unapologeticallyfearless@gmail.com. On YouTube, I'm unapologetically living without the G underscore. Unapologetically living without the G underscore. As I always say, be your authentic best self unapologetically. Make your own memories. Create your own opportunities. Right, Mr. Alex? Yes, create your own opportunities. This is Lady V and my handsome son, Mr. Alex. Until next time, we out, y'all. Fearless is not the absence of fear. It's living life with fear, but jumping anyway, accomplishing your goals.